Morning, church. Great in power, great in splendor, great in majesty. There's nothing, no other greater word is there than great. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, the word of God teaches us and tells us. And this morning, if you haven't picked up already, it should be an exciting morning for you, but because we're going to praise the Lord in this message. We've been praising the Lord, and I just want to commend under the Lord the ladies who sang and played this morning. That was praise. That was worship. That was admiring our King, loving on our King, and that's what He desires for each one of us, to pour out our love and our praise to Him. You know, so often praise is, it ought to be our first response, not our last resort. At times we go through life and, you know, there's hills and valleys in life that we all have to endure. And on those hills, oftentimes when we're, the hills represent good times, on those hills we often forget about the Lord, or I know I have. But in the valleys it's a time to cry out to the Lord. But I can tell you this morning that God's will and His plan for your life is to praise Him, not occasionally, not when you feel like it, not when times are tough, but to praise Him continually, without ceasing. Amen? And I just want to encourage you this morning that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords doesn't need our praise, but He deserves our praise. And we need to praise Him, but we don't deserve His gifts and that gift of salvation. Does that make sense? If you've got a notebook, you can take that note down, that the Lord Jesus Christ does not need our praise, but He deserves it. We need His forgiveness, but we don't deserve it. So God is good, and God is good sometimes, eh? All the time. You know the song. Good. We didn't do that song this morning. I'm going to open in prayer, but I just want to touch on one thing before we do that, is that it's a testimony in my life that I'll never forget. And it was a period of time in my life where I wasn't sleeping, and it was a real bad time. I don't know if you've, I'm sure there's people in here who don't sleep the best. I know one of the guys this morning said he woke up at 2 o'clock and has been awake ever since. So sleep can be a problem, and it certainly was for me. And 2 weeks, I pretty much can guarantee that I didn't feel like I had any sleep at all. And during that period of time, I turned to the Lord. I said, "Why am I going through this? What's happening? You know where I am at? Have you been there before? Why is this happening to me? Why me?" All that you know, that pity party stuff and whatever. But God quickly corrected me and said, "It's just time to praise me. It's time to just pour out your praise." And I was standing next to a drum kit in my music room, in this deep dark hole that I felt like I was in. And I remember putting my hand on the snare drum, not praying over or anything, but just leaning on it. And I said, "Lord, as long as I have breath, I'm going to praise you." And isn't it interesting? After that, things started to come out. You know, when you praise the Lord, you start to come out of what, and you might not be fully out straight away, and you really will have to press in and push hard sometimes. You know, push, there's an acronym, I think that's the word, acronym, P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. You heard it before? Pray until something happens. Praise until something happens. I'm going to use it this morning. I'm going to change it from prayer to praise, which is all connected anyway. But we need to praise until something happens, until there's a breakthrough, because we serve the God of the breakthrough. Last message that I had the honor to share with you a couple of weeks ago was talking about the battle belongs to the Lord. And I based that message off King Jehoshaphat when the three great armies came against him and there was fear in the land. And he acted upon that instruction that there was an enemy coming against him. He didn't act in the way setting up military, you know, barriers and setting all, and political things and doing all that. But he declared a fast in the land. He sought the Lord. He started to seek God. And soon as he did, and soon as the people did, it wasn't too long after that that God spoke. And it wasn't too long after that that God acted. And it wasn't too long after that victory came to the people. And you know what? In that particular story, they didn't even have to fight because God fought for them. And that's what praise does. Praise brings you into the presence of Almighty God, allowing Him to fight your battles, allowing Him to win your victories, because you know what? God is victorious in all areas. We might be victorious in this little area or that little area in life, but God wins every single time. He never loses, even when it looks like He loses. Like in the garden, it looked like He lost, but He had a plan. He had a plan, and that plan is something that we walk in today. We're just going to open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give You praise this morning. We thank You for Your peace that passes understanding, like Kathy said, far beyond what we can comprehend or understand. And I thank You, Lord Jesus, that this year of stepping over the fence, Father God, this theme that is going to be throughout this year, we thank You, Lord, that we will continue to step into higher places in every area. And this morning, Father God, we just want to focus in on praising You and stepping into a higher place of praise to bring praise to Your name in all things, Father God. So we thank You as Your people listen to the word, and as I have the honor to share Your word with Your people, Father, I thank You that the hearts of the congregation here, Father God, would hear what the Lord has to say this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. So praise, when you think of praise, it isn't just something we just come to do in church. Praise should be a lifestyle. It should be every action and every word that we speak in every day that we live. And Scripture shows us that praise should be leading our relationship with the Lord in everything, every situation, every issue that we are confronted with in everyday life, that our immediate response should be praise be to the Lord. You know, I went through a period there, because who's ever said a swear word before? Oh, you holy people. Well, my hand's up here because I have. So when you stub your toe on this speaker, like real bad, that wasn't bad. But when you stub your toe on something, have you done that before, or jammed your finger or something happened? What was your words that cometh from thy mouth? Praise the Lord. It was, wasn't it? So next time, this is a little side note just to encourage you that we really need to control our tongues and everything when things don't go as they should. But when you have a continual attitude of gratitude and you have the attitude in your heart that I just want to praise the Lord in all things. I woke up this morning, and this is, I don't do this every morning, don't get me wrong, I'm not Mr. Holy Man up here. But I woke up this morning and looked out and heard the birds, and in our case the bats, the trees, the wind, the thunder rolling. You would have heard a bit of thunder this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the Lord. You know, because I was preaching this morning, I thought I'd better praise the Lord this morning because I was preaching on praise. I'm just being honest. I don't do that every morning because I'm too busy. We all get busy, don't we? But the point is that that's what God wants. He does want a lifestyle of praise. He wants a lifestyle of us acknowledging who He is, appreciating who He is. And ultimately, that's what it means to praise. To praise Him for His wonderful deeds, like the Psalms talks about, like we were reading this morning. Praise Him in the heavens. Praise Him, you heavenly host. We're singing the song. Praise Him because why? He's great in power. He's great in majesty. He's great in everything. There's nothing that He lacks. We lack plenty of things. He lacks nothing. But you know, the best thing about all that, all of His resources, all of His glory, He wants us to dwell in that place, into that secret place of the Most High. Who wants to dwell in the secret place of the Most High every day of your life? You know, because when you're in His presence, there's fullness of joy and pleasures for a day or two. No, forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. It doesn't stop. And you need to understand that what it means to praise is to have that relationship with Him and to act on that relationship day by day, moment by moment. When you stub your toe, that relationship is still in action. It doesn't just depart. Instead of saying, beep, say, praise the Lord. Glory to Your name. You are worthy of all my praise, even when things go wrong. Even when I continue to fall short of you, you're always there. I want to declare your greatness in my life. I want to declare your goodness in my life. I want to take you by your hand, Lord, and I want you to lead me and guide me. And I know when I praise you, your voice starts to speak because I'm communicating with you. I'm giving you all of the praise because you deserve the praise. And then in return, you're giving me what I don't deserve, and that is your guidance. That is your salvation. That is your mercy. That is your grace. All of those attributes of the Lord. And then out of the overflow of the heart, out of the overflow of what's coming into your spirit, you can actually live in that place of Galatians chapter 5 in the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. You know, joy is very closely connected to praise. There's actually a Hebrew word, which I'll go through soon, that is part of praise, but it actually means joyful praise. And I was really encouraged with Kathy there. There's a specific Hebrew word, which I need my notes for. I'm not that good. But when you said shout of praise, there's a specific Hebrew word of a shout of praise. There's a specific Hebrew word for praise, or meaning praise, to kneel in reverence, you know. And then when we look at it, the difference between praise and worship, there is a difference, but there's not a difference. It's all to do with Lord. But if we could define a differentiation between the two, we praise God for what he has done, and we worship God because of who he is. And you know what? That dovetails beautifully together like a harmony, like the ladies singing this morning. It was beautiful. Well done. Praise be to the Lord. And playing. There's a harmony going on, and it dovetails perfectly together. You know, in school, I did woodwork and all of the manual arts and everything, and I had a teacher, I won't name him, but he's not in Stanthorpe anymore. He was really good. He was really good. And at woodwork, I was really bad. And we did dovetails. You know, the dovetails that, you know, and mine was like a square. It was, you know, they're supposed to be that angled look and just dovetail in and all match up. Mine was squares. There was gaps. I had to fill up with putty. It was a mess. It just didn't dovetail. It just didn't look good. But praise and worship is like that perfect dovetail. Complement each other. And you know what? You and Jesus, it can be that perfect dovetail as well, that you have that relationship and you just click in, just like a perfect Lego block or dovetail, however you want to look at it. And that's what he wants. So that's what it means to praise him, to come into his presence with fullness of joy. In Psalm 34:1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's continually. And I know, without judging or casting judgment on anyone in here, I know for a fact that every person in this room, and every person, every human being, if you're human, we don't always do that. I was just waiting for a response from someone. It's true though, hey? I know I don't, but I want to, and I desire to, but I know that I let him down. Because let's face it, one day we leave this life, this realm. That's what heaven is going to be all about. Praising before the throne of God for it. Ever and ever. And we'll be there for 10,000 years and it would have just begun. Wow. So next time you get sick of the praise and worship going too long in church, you better get used to it, because heaven is going to be a little bit longer. Amen? Like eternal. So that's the first part, what it means to praise. Number two is why we praise the Lord. Now, I've touched on some of that anyway, but I'm just going to read some of the notes that we've taken down. Now, number one is God is worthy. He's worthy of our praise. He deserves our praise. He's our creator. He's our sustainer. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's a God that is so huge that he doesn't need us, but he wants us. He doesn't have to bestow salvation. He didn't have to bestow salvation. When the garden event happened, the Garden of Eden event, the fall of man, he didn't have to restore it. He could have just said, okay, well, that mucked up. Get on with it. Forget about them. They're just going to do it again. And they have, and we do. But his salvation promise was that he would send his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, and whosoever believes in him will have everlasting life, because he had a plan. And that, my friends, church, that's why we praise him. If there's no other reason I can come up with this morning why we praise Jesus, it's because he saved us from the pit of hell. If there's no other reason, he saved us from darkness. When that light was switched off in the garden, Jesus came at the cross of Calvary and switched it back on. And anyone who would place their faith, their trust in Jesus then had the opportunity to have eternal life and that eternal praise session with Jesus forever and ever. Revelation 4:11 says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power." He's worthy. The second reason that why we praise the Lord is it strengthens your faith. It strengthens your faith. So when we praise God, you get stronger in him. And the testimony that I started to try to tell you before, which I didn't actually finish and tell you everything about it, is when I praised the Lord, I got up out of bed that night, I'll never forget this, and my whole body was twitching. It was a nervous system just going crazy for the lack of sleep and whatever else was going. I was a mess. It was like jelly. It's like my legs were just going to fall out from under me. I had no strength, nothing. And I spent about an hour, and Jody was there. My dad was there as well, actually. And I praised the Lord. We praised the Lord. And then I started within that praise just bringing to him the worship and the praise that he deserves, saying to him that I will go, I will preach your word, I will do whatever you ask me to do. Where I'll be like Ruth and Naomi. Where you go, I'll go. Where you die, I'll die. You know, not to God, because he's not going to die. He's alive. But the point is, I just made that commitment to him. And as I was praising the Lord, it wouldn't have been more than half an hour to an hour, I started getting that, I felt stronger. And that night I fell asleep. You know, so that's a testimony. That was just one little situation that probably doesn't matter to you guys. That was happened in my life. But I hope it touches you, because if you're going through something that looks just impossible, that it might be sleep, it might be financial, it might be a relationship breakdown. It could be anything. But when we really press in and praise until something happens, God will make that happen. He will bring the answer, because he's the God of answers. And praise will continue. If we continue to do it, it will strengthen our faith in him, knowing that we step into this place of praise, knowing that he's going to bring an answer. Who needs answers from the Lord in their life? We all do. There's things that aren't perfect. So when we praise God, ultimately what we're doing, we're shifting our focus. We're taking our focus off the problem, off the sickness, off the relationship breakdown, whatever it is, we're shifting it and we're looking to him, the author and the finisher of our faith. And when we look to him in that way, he speaks. Speak the name of Jesus. Amen. We need to speak his name at all times. We need to praise his name at all times. We go from problems to promises, and we go from the darkness to the light when we praise him. Amen. You're taken off over that big chasm, or that is that big canyon, whatever it is, over to the other side. He wants to bring you over. He wants to bring you through the Red Sea. He'll part the seas when you praise the Lord. He'll part them so that you can walk through. And you know what else? This is the greatest part. When you're praising him, that enemy that's coming against you will be drowned in that ocean. Amen. Amen. I hope you get that revelation, because the Lord really wants you to know that he's on your side. He's for you and not against you. And he invites you to praise him. Amen. In all things. The next point I just want to make is when we praise, it opens the door into the Holy of Holies, into that place where you have that intimacy and that presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that he so much wants us to enjoy. Amen. Who wants to enjoy the presence of God? You know, I was joking a little bit about the eternal praise session that we'll have in heaven, but I can tell you, you might think right now as a human being, it's going to be a burden. I don't want to do all that all the time. I want to play a bit of golf. I want to go and look at the waterfalls. I want to do other stuff. I'm not just going to praise the Lord all the time. But I can tell you, when you get there, that's all you'll want to do. All the desires of this world will just, I just want to be with my Creator. I just want to be with Him. Amen. That's where some of the movements within our Christian faith get it wrong, because they're so focused on the blessings of this world, money and all that stuff. But we're not going to want any of that down over there, and we shouldn't really be focused on it now either. Amen. Because all He wants is fellowship. That's all He ever created us for, to have fellowship with Him. And that's what we should desire. So that's the what and the why of praise. But now we're just going to jump on to the how. How do we praise? And I'm looking at this point three, and the first one I'll touch on is we praise, obviously, with our words, with song. Like this morning, ladies were up here leading us in praise and worship, and we're just going to that place where He wants us, ushering it in, preparing our hearts to hear the word. So with the words of thanksgiving, singing psalms, singing hymns, you know what a really good thing is to do? Because the book of Psalms obviously is the book of praises. I'm a musician, and at times I've just taken a psalm and just put chords to it and just sung those words. And you know what? I have the blessing that I can play a little bit of keyboard and stuff, so I can do that. So don't you be disheartened, because you can do it a cappella. All right? It's all right. You can just, don't be afraid to sing the psalms, because that's what they are. They're songs of praise. They're songs of despair, but they're always come out at the end as songs of deliverance. Amen? Where the enemy's defeated, and King David is a classic for that. The Sons of Korah, all of those psalms. So I encourage you, when you read the psalms next time, know that is really the core of your praise, where you should be directing your praise and lining your praise along with those psalms, because God loves to hear our praises. He loves for us to call on His name, because He is surely answer that call. In Hebrews 13:15, it says, "Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise with our mouth, with our words. I offer You a sacrifice of praise, Lord, because You're worthy to be praised." Praise with music is something that I've been accustomed to, because I play keys and stuff, and then, you know, all musicians in here would have that blessing in their life where you can one night just turn out all the lights in the house, go to your room, to your music room, turn it all off and just play. It's no real song. It's not even any of the songs this morning. It's just a progression of notes, but it's just a praise, bringing praise to Him. And then He shows you stuff, you know. So that's in a music side. But even if you don't play an instrument, because I have to be sensitive to people who don't play instruments, you can do that with your mouth, with your words. And He will lead you and give you guidance. He'll give you words of knowledge. He'll give you words of wisdom that may really affect your family or situations in your family potentially. I know that my mum prayed for me one night. And I've had the testimony here. I had a car accident, and she'd been praying that night. The car accident happened around midnight. And if you've seen the photos of the car, you would be horrified. And you say, how did you survive that? If you weren't a Christian, you would say, how would you? Obviously, you know how I did. Is God protected me. But Mum was praying that night, and I didn't know she was praying. She was praying her rebellious son, the prodigal son, would come home. And that really switched me into a place of what I do today and what God has blessed me with today, is to share the Word of God with people who want to be touched and who want to receive of the Word of God. I really do believe if that event didn't happen, that because it truly did humble me. It brought me to that place where, hey, I'm going way off the rails here. I need to get back on. And I looked at the photos. I've still got the photos in my phone of that car, and like the whole nose was like, yeah, it was a shambles. But God saved me, and He saved me for such a day as today, so I could be here to share this with you. Because if He didn't save me that night, I wouldn't be preaching to you this morning. He would have replaced someone else who would have done just as good a job or better. But the point is that God has a plan for us, and we have to be adherent to that plan. We had to hear His voice and say, Lord, this is what I want to do, and that is follow you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my life, that my life will be a lifestyle of praise. Amen. And that praise won't be my last response in times of desperation, or my last resort, I'm sorry to say, but it will be my first response. It'll be the first thing I go to. So as if I'm not living the lifestyle, I will go straight to you, Lord Jesus, and say, Lord, I want you to come through on this. I want you, because only you can do it. In Psalm 150, the psalm that we read this morning in verses 3 to 5, in that area of Scripture, it says, praise him with trumpet sound, with string and pipe, with loud clashing cymbals. So musical instruments are very applicable in the house of God to bring praise. And I'm going to go through some things right now in these Hebrew words. I was going to skip over to that. Now, there's 8 Hebrew words that are associated with praise. Do you want to know them? Are you going to remember them? If you've got a notebook, you will. Anyway, I can get these notes printed for you at some stage and get the office to do that. But number one is yada. You would have heard this one. This is a Hebrew word. And that word, in essence, I'm going to go through this properly. It actually means hands raised, surrender, and thanksgiving. Now, I've seen a couple of you this morning with your hands raised. You know what? It's totally scriptural, according to the Hebrew word yada. It's all right. You don't have to be scared to raise your hands in church. He's worthy of our praise. It's scriptural. That's yada. Then we have halal, which is the root of... Who said hallelujah? That's what it is. The root word to hallelujah. So that's expression... the expression of that is joyful, exuberant praise. Hallelujah. It ultimately means praise the Lord. That's what hallelujah means. So then we've got tehillah. Not tequila. Tehillah. You got it? Tehillah. And that's a song of praise, spontaneous praise, singing a new song to the Lord. Singing a song that has never been written in this earth, but it's written from the Holy Spirit from your heart, singing a new song unto the Lord. Amen? Isn't that awesome? And you don't need to be a musician. You can sing a new song to the Lord right where you are, right where you're at. Amen? You might need to be able to hold a note singing. You might sound terrible, like a broken violin, but you can sing to the Lord a new song. Amen? And the word for that is tehillah, to sing a heartful worship song, praise song back to him. Number four is barak. It means to bless, to kneel in reverence before the Lord. These all mean praise, these words. So humble, reverent praise before your God. In Psalm 95, associated with that particular aspect of praise in the Hebrew language, it says, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, to recognize him as our Creator, our soon coming King, the Lord of Lords, the one that has the everlasting love that he just desires to bestow upon each one of us. Number five is shabak, to shout loud praise victoriously. Amen. So that's also scriptural, Kathy, what you said from up here this morning. Are you happy to hear that? Yes, good. Well, it's true. So loud praise. And then number six, we've got a couple more to go, is zamar. And that's the one for the musicians and the singers, especially the musicians. To make music, sing praises with instruments, musical praise, worship with instruments. Now, the scriptural example there, as I just read before, was Psalm 150, playing the trumpet and the harp and the cymbals. So that's that. And then Taudah is number seven. That's the thankful praise, even when the victory and the answer hasn't come. That's a big one. Praising in the storm, praising in the sickness, praising in the challenge, knowing that I'm going to praise until something happens. Praise until God comes through. You know what? He's already come through 2,000 years ago, by the way. He's already come through. The answers are there. We've just got to embrace them and step into it. Amen. And then number eight, the final one, was ranan, which is to shout for joy aloud again, but this is tied closely with joyful praise. Just so joyful that I can't express from the deepest reaches of my heart how wonderful you are, Lord. How all the mighty works and the great in power works that you've done and you've performed in my life, the life of those around me, I can't express how joyful I am about that. Have you ever had opportunity to pray for someone, and then they testify after that that they've been healed. Once? Once is good. Some people don't. Anyone else? No. So who's prayed for people and they haven't been healed? Okay, I want you not to be discouraged about that. But I also want to encourage you that even if someone's not healed, that's not God's fault. That we just continue to praise him in all things. Amen? Not just when he does what we feel is the right thing. Oh, yep, tick that. I had a testimony a few years ago, nearly 10 years ago now. We prayed for two people. I've shared this before with the church. But one, they both had cancer, both situations. One was healed, one passed away. I couldn't understand why, but I can tell you, it didn't affect the way I looked at God. I just will continue to praise him all the days of my life. Because you know what? If you really want to get real with all this, is that it's not about this life. It's not about this 70, 80 years, whatever God chooses. It's not about that. In fact, if you look at the cracks in this VJ, you see the join? So one join in this VJ here represents your entire life. And if you look at this wall here, for example, and you look, this is all the eternity before you, and this is the eternity on this side after you. It goes on forever and ever and ever and ever both ways, right? Because God is eternal, yeah? Would you agree? Yeah. So this one crack, your 80 years, your 70 years, your 10 years, your 2 years old, whatever it, you know, whatever God keeps each person here on this earth, the decisions you make, especially as we get older, not so much the young ones, but as we get older, the decisions we make in that crack will affect our whole eternity. Amen? And I say decisions, plural, but there's really only one decision to make. And this man has it on his shirt. Would you like to stand, sir? Repent and turn to God. How encouraging is that? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. To come to the Lord Jesus Christ in that crack of time, and as we come to him, then form a relationship with him and live a lifestyle of praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, I named off and rattled off all those Hebrew words. Don't get too stressed about that. Just praise him. You know, we can get so heavenly minded we're no earthly good sometimes. So theological, it's just too much. I think simple's good because that's who God is. He's so simple for us, for our benefit, but he is so complicated himself. He's amazing. Amen? He's awesome. So in closing this morning, everyone say hallelujah. Yeah? Got a hallelujah there? Yeah. Hallelujah is finished. Okay, the last little bit here. God is not only looking for moments of praise in our life, but he's looking for a lifestyle of praise. Take that away today. If you have breath, you have reason to praise. If you have been saved, which I'm believing is the case with all of you in here, if you haven't, you need to talk to someone about that because it is important. If you have been saved, you have a testimony to praise, to give him honor, to give him glory. If God has been faithful, he deserves our praise. Has God been faithful? Of course, he's never unfaithful. We are, but he's not. Amen. In Psalm 150, verse 6, the last verse of that short psalm, it says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." I want you to look at your partner next to you and take a deep breath. Are they breathing? Is everyone breathing? All right, if everyone's breathing, that means that you can praise the Lord. And until you stop breathing, that's what he wants. Amen? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. In fact, Scripture actually teaches that, and Jesus touched on it when he was walking just before his crucifixion. If you don't praise me, even the rocks are going to praise me. Do they have breath? Well, I don't know. I've looked at a rock for a long time. I can't see it moving. But the point is that they whatever is created offers praise to the Lord. Whether, you know, when I look at this passage, though, this last verse, this is the last verse of the whole book of Psalms. What's Psalms again? What did I say it was before? It's a book of praise. So what is the last reminder? By the way, after everything that you've seen David go through, the sons of Korah and Moses and whoever else wrote Psalms, after you've seen and read all that, what do I want you to do? I want you to hallelujah. I want you to praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So it's a final reminder, and I thought it was a good way to conclude. So my challenge is to you, and I'll ask the music team to come and prepare themselves. My last challenge to you will be, will you praise God daily and not just on Sundays? You don't have to put your hand up, but it's all good. But will you praise him in the valley as well as on the mountain? Will you make praise your first response and not your last resort? And do you have a desire in your heart to just get closer to him every day? They're my questions to you, not from me, but God to you. You don't have to answer me. I'm not at liberty to take those answers. But you need to talk to God about it and say, Lord, and make a commitment to him and say, Lord, from this day forward, I'm making a decision. I'm going to praise you in all things, and I'm going to praise you not occasionally but continually. Amen. We're going to sing a song this morning. I'll let Kathy take back over, and thank you for listening. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony.